Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360.
Hey, what do you know about your practice's culture? Is it healthy? Do you have any culture killers, or are there some, like, you know, what we call disenchanted cast members that might be on your team? But joining us today is the one and only, such a good friend. We all love him, Dr. Matt McLassen. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing wonderful. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're excited. And to the listeners that are tuning in, if you don't know him, Dr. McLassen is passionate, customer-focused leader in the animal health industry with over 17 years of experience. And he's been doing so many wonderful things in practice management, professional development, and quality improvement. He has a successful track record of establishing innovative care systems, mentoring programs, and a big social media presence that we're going to chat about later. He brings a versatile skills that allows him to transform any role he steps into. Within his current role as chief medical officer and medical director, he built and rolled out a mentoring program to help the transition for first-year doctors, including effective goal setting, communication skills. The list goes on. He is certified fear-free practitioner, certified cat-friendly veterinarian by the AAFP, and is a member of AVMA, VHMA, and AAFP. He currently serves as the Northern Kentucky representative on the executive board for the KVMA, and he serves on the veterinary advisory board here at DVM 360, and he was last year's winner veterinary hero for practice manager of the year. So lots of great stuff, my friend. Congratulations on all those accolades.
Thank you. That was a really long introduction.
Well, now you need to Venmo me the money. So okay. Like we talked about beforehand, so we'll definitely take care of that.
I'll hook you up.
But so chat with me about culture. You know, as so many practices, whether they're part of a consolidator or not, they all have their own unique culture. So, you know, we're going to chat about some of the top three culture killers and some things that we could do to rectify it. So talk to me a little bit about culture in general in vet med.
Yeah, I think, you know, from where I come from, as you know, like a certified veterinary practice manager, what really gets me excited about is practice culture. And that's not as exciting as like the new medical improvements and the newest diagnostics that have come out and that type of thing. But I think that's the most important thing that you can have at your practice. You know, every practice these days is struggling to attract talent and retain talent. And, you know, having a healthy practice culture, I think, is the number one thing you can do to, you know, keep the best people around. So I'm very passionate about it. There's a lot of different definitions of practice culture out there. It's basically the set of, you know, beliefs and behaviors that you believe at your practice. But what I like to tell people is I kind of think of culture as like, what does it feel like when I walk into your practice? So you've all been in a business before where you can just tell, you know, within a minute or two of being in that environment that, you know, there's not a healthy culture here. So what does it feel like when I walk into your practice? You know, how am I greeted? How are people interacting with each other? So for me, that's what I think of when I think of practice culture.
Yeah, when I go to some of my doctors, I sometimes go to the practice just because I like the doctor, but their support staff can be just brutal, you know, and you can feel that, like, just like you said, you walk in and you can cut that tension with a knife. You're hearing them talking about each other behind their backs or talking about how hungover they were the night before, you know, like we don't need to hear that. And I know that translates over into vet med. So give me an example or one of the three culture killers that we have in veterinary medicine.
Okay, sure. We'll start with the bad. I think you kind of just alluded to it, so thanks for teeing this up for me. But I think the number one culture killer out there is gossip. So when I think of gossip, I think, you know, just gossiping with other employees in the practice is just so detrimental to your practice culture. The biggest reason why is it really erodes trust, you know, among the employees. So, and gossip doesn't have to be something really horrible you're saying about someone else. It's basically, it can just be, you know, like this little water cooler chat where you're kind of saying so-and-so was late today, or why didn't Susie do this? You know, it's basically anything that you're saying about an employee that you wouldn't say to them if they were in front of you. So I think gossip is the number one culture killer.
I love what you just said, by the way, listeners. Like, if there's nothing that you wouldn't say behind their back that you would say to their face, because that's so important. That's exactly what gossip is. Yeah. And gosh, you know, you're right, Matt. Like, I mean, and the walls are thin in our practices. And by thin, I'm saying like our pet parents are listening to that And if they happen to hear somebody talking smack about one of their incredible professionals that are in there, like, I love this vet assistant. Why are they talking bad about him or her? You know, like it really can be like, I don't know if I want to do business here. Right.
Yeah. Very damaging. And, you know, we see it in the practice, and then you see it, you know, as practitioners, you'll see, you know, unfortunately, you know, we're all a team. Every vet's a little bit different, but you'll see vets who bash other vets from other practices, you know, and that's basically gossip as well. So right. It's really eroding trust in the whole profession, I think.
Really is. Okay. So that's number one. What's the second one? Second culture killer.
My second culture killer, which may seem like not a big deal to some people, but it's huge for me. I'm very passionate about this for many years, and that is client shaming. So client shaming, you see it, the best example I would give you is just, you know, go on social media and, you know, you scroll through some of the veterinary channels and you'll see client shaming. And it's basically talking bad about our clients. And, you know, you can have fun with some of the things your clients say. And I think, you know, that's okay. But what I'm seeing, you know, it's been trending for probably 3 or 4 years. And it's what kind of prompted me to like get into social media and really kind of switch that narrative and be positive is, you know, when you're talking about how dumb your clients are, or can you believe that my client thought that, you know, they could get heartworms this way, or can you believe my client didn't know what parvo was? And you're just making fun of those clients, you know, not only on social media, but you'll see it in the treatment area, you know, at the vet clinics. Almost every vet clinic struggles with this. It's eroding trust. You know, we want our clients to trust us. We know that if our clients trust us, that's going to lead to better care for their patients. And by eroding that trust, gosh, it's just so damaging to your client relationship.
Oh, thank you for saying this. And those of you that listen and follow Matt or myself, you will not see us do those kinds of things. And I agree. I wanted to change that narrative myself and take back that feeling. I have had multiple, and I'm sure you did too, but I have had multiple messages. I had one client specifically in my area that says she has lost complete trust in the veterinary profession, and she will no longer go to a veterinarian, no matter how much I said to her, because she felt like she was shamed. They didn't mention her, but her actions were used in a dance, and she felt completely embarrassed, and she's like, I will no longer go to veterinary medicine unless I have to for emergency care. And I was like, that's awful, you know, and I'm so sorry you feel that way.
Yeah. And I think you know, just to call you out, I think you do a really nice job of being positive and like empowering pet parents. Like, I think that's your whole mission is you're empowering pet parents. And that's what we should all be doing out there. And this was a huge problem well before social media became a thing even, you know, but it's, you know, that, you know, technician or that vet walking to the treatment area and saying, oh my gosh, you're not going to believe what this client just did. Or can you believe this? Or why does he shouldn't even have a dog, you know? And it's like, you know, they brought their pet to the vet, you know, not everyone has been to vet school. Not everyone has been to tech school. They don't know the things that we take for granted. You know, sometimes it's up to us to educate them. Right. So they're bringing their pet to us and we're here to administer care and do the best we can for that pet. So any of that negative talk, client shaming, I think it just really interferes with your ability to care for that pet.
Right. It's so, so, so true. And I think you and I have been in this field for quite some time. And I think we're seeing, like I said, an uptake more of that. And, you know, and I'll even have clients that said, oh my God, Dr. Kristen, did I wait too long? I feel like a terrible pet parent. You never want to give them that feeling. Even if they did wait too long, you say, you know what? You're here. Let's move forward. You're here. It's half the battle. Let's work together to get the pet, you know, feeling better. So I love that. Okay, what's the third culture killer?
My third culture killer is tolerating toxic people. And, you know, kind of going back, you know, piggybacking off, we just talked about a lot of vets and veterinary professionals out there like to just say, you know, they throw this into tolerating toxic clients. And there are toxic clients. But I feel like, unfortunately, sometimes we celebrate firing clients more than we do having a really healthy culture. So when I say tolerating toxic people, I also mean that toxic employee that's in your practice, you know, and we're all guilty. I've been guilty of it myself, of keeping an employee around that didn't live up to our core values, that was maybe a bully, or maybe they were, you know, really clicky, or they were really damaging your practice culture, but maybe they're really good at what they do, you know, on the floor. So. Right. We're guilty of keeping those people around, but we know that, you know, study after study has shown that all the employees that that work with them are like 40% more likely to quit, you know, just working with that person. So that's what I think of when I think about like tolerating toxic employees.
Right. Yeah. And you hear that all the time. People don't leave their jobs, they leave their bosses. And so, you know, if even in management, upper management, there's toxic individuals that are there, then they want out. So let's flip the narrative then, Dr. McLesson. So what are some things that we could do to make culture a little better?
Absolutely. I think the number one ingredient to healthy culture is having the right people on your team. So I think of having the right people in the right seats. That means, you know, you have people that live up to your core values. And I think it's really important that every practice has really identified and narrowed down on what their core values are. And I think it shouldn't just be something that's on the wall, but it should be something that you talk about with your team and everyone knows. So for instance, at Noah's Ark, our core values are availability, compassion, and trust. So that's like the filter we use to, you know, to examine every employee when we're looking to make a hire, that type of thing. Do they live up to these core values? So having the right people on the team, I think, is the number one ingredient. So the first one is people, and then the next two go back to your people. So number two for me is communication. So step one is you've got the right people on your team. Step two is how do you communicate with those people? And I think we're really, really bad in general in the industry at communicating with our people, you know, and you hear a lot of people say, you know what, I talk with my people all the time, but what they're referring to is like, hey, did you check that fecal? Or hey, did you see Scruffy in room four? Like, that's not communication. So I think at the bare minimum, you need to be having like a daily huddle. That's where you bring the whole team together, 5-10 minutes, talk about announcements. We use that as our opportunity to like celebrate wins, you know, like a win, like, oh my gosh, you know, this dog came in with a pyometra yesterday and Dr. So-and-so saved it, you know, huge win, you know, focusing on the positives. So that's the bare minimum. But I think the most important thing that we do culturally, as far as like the communicating with our people is, all of our people in the company will have like a one-on-one conversation with their direct report every quarter. And that sounds terrifying to people because no one wants to do that. And it's not easy. It's hard. But no. I think having that one-on-one conversation is really important. And we kind of have a little script we go through. It's three questions and it's just really easy. And that's how you can really figure out, you know, where your people are and how you can help them.
That's really, really helpful. When we had our monthly doctors meetings, and actually we do it here at DVM360 as well, but it's start, stop, and keep. I don't know if you've heard of that, but like things that you hear from the team, like stop this, start doing this. We like to implement, you know, a new dental initiative. You know, I don't think we should have our new puppy protocol. We need to revisit that. I think we should stop that and revisit that. You know, oh, let's keep doing the weight management program. I think that's winning. We're doing great. We're getting a lot of buy-in from the team, but doing start, stop, keep from the entire team is awesome too, as well. So you can get their buy-in and their perspective of what is working for their team.
Yeah. And I think that's really important to just make it simple like that. So people kind of know what to expect. So ours is similar. It's like, what's going well? What are you struggling with? And, you know, how can I help you? So it's kind of focusing on, you know, where we need to, you know, you want to catch small problems before they become big problems. And then we try and have everyone on our team have at least one goal they're working on for the year. So that's like where I can help you.
Love it. Yes. Always have goals because teamwork makes the
dream work.
Thank you. Well, this has been fantastic, Dr. McLesson. Where can we learn more about you on social media? Here we go, everybody. Drum roll.
So it's just Dr. Matt McLesson, and it's Dr. period Matt McLesson. And that's my handle on Instagram and TikTok. Sorry, I forgot my social media channels for a second.
That's okay. It's okay. I'll help you with that next time. Well, thank you for joining us. And to the listeners too, Dr. McLesson is a well-renowned speaker as well. So if you happen to see him at any of the live events, say hi to him. You know, he's a wonderful human being. I can't think of another person who'd be more than happy to give you the shirt off his back and really be a voice of reason. He'll be with us at some of our Fetch conferences and then also other conferences that you see him at. So please say hi to him. So he's wonderful. Yes, thank you. Thanks for being on the podcast, my friend. Always good to hear from you.
Thanks so much. Take care.
You're welcome. And thank you to our friends for tuning in. Hey, don't forget to rate this podcast like an Uber driver over here. It's going to help us out significantly. And we'll see you next time right here on the Vet Blast podcast. Take care, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay pawsome.